set eye right, second down and four. Sean Green is the eye back. Sanchez under center. Dropping back to throw. Lobs one down the left sideline. Force Antonio Holmes. He's got it in stride with a flag down. Inside the 30. Inside the 25. Santonio Holmes all the way down to about the 20-yard line.
That penalty would turn out to be defensive holding against Miami on that go route by Santonio Holmes. And that was the key play in overtime that set up Nick Folk's game winner. I'm Bob Wischusen back here at Grasshoppers off the green in Morristown, New Jersey. This is Inside the Jets presented by Coors Light and arguably his biggest game as a Jet in a desperately needed spot yesterday for the Jets to win on the road. Santonio Holmes now joins us here on Inside the Jets. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
This was a grinded out game. Can you talk about the frustration I'm sure your group felt offensively going through the first half and then putting together the drive in the fourth quarter that got the game, you know, up for you by a field goal and then the drive in overtime to win it?
For a lot of people that don't know, you know, those games are very fun, you know, to be in. When you get an opportunity to put a team away and the chance to slip through your hands time and time again, but you depend on one another, and that's where team chemistry and camaraderie comes into play. You have your offensive team who depends on the defense who depends on the offense depends on special teams, the defense depend on special teams. And when all of those things are working well, you know, for a team, some way, somehow, you know, you seem to find a way to pull out victories. And yesterday, you know, we fought as a team in all phases of the game. We kept those guys pinned down, you know, in behind their 20-yard line for a majority of the game for their starting position. And I think that really played a big factor on how long these guys can sustain drives up to 80 yards plus for 60-plus minutes.
I heard you say something after the game about Tony Sparano and about how, you know, so much was made last year of the fact that your offense didn't go down the field. There weren't those chunk plays, taking those shots deep. Well, you guys are not shy about taking shots this year. I mean, a lot of downfield balls, and obviously the downfield ball yesterday from Mark Sanchez to you that sets up the game winner in overtime. So, how about your relationship with Mark, the chemistry you're developing with each other? That was, you know, obviously a big theme from last year to this year, and how that plays in to having a new offensive coordinator as well.
It's becoming more and more interesting, you know, that he and I continue to work together. We're both young guys who want to succeed in this league, and I think the best way for us to do that is by building the chemistry and understanding each other, because not to say, you know, in a cocky way, but without him, I don't succeed. And without me, you know, he don't succeed.
Well, that makes sense,
in a way that he and I have to correlate and be responsible for our actions no matter how they're taken on the field.
I know you put last year behind you, but it there was, I would think, for you a little something to go back to that building yesterday and have that kind of game considering what happened last year at the end of the season.
Honestly, I really didn't think twice about what happened last year. But the things that went on last year were last year. And didn't get an opportunity to help the team win the ball game to put us in position to make it to the playoffs. And this time around, you know, the team believed that I can help. And the opportunities were presented, and we took full advantage of them.
Manish Mehta from the Daily News wrote an article not long ago about your role when you were injured during training camp, trying to do what you could each day to mentor some of the younger guys, Stephen Hill in particular. I asked him about that. He came in and did the show with us a couple of weeks ago. What do you think your role is with those younger guys when you've got a rookie wide receiver starting opposite you?
I think it started back when I arrived in Pittsburgh. Around this same time, 7 years in, was a veteran who understood the game, who were coming off of, I want to say, 4 straight Pro Bowls, you know, in Hines Ward. And he taught me a lot about the game and how to understand what takes place in the course of 16 games and take advantage of the little opportunities that you have during 20-something odd weeks that you get an opportunity to play football. And I think expressing that to the young guys in my position and even just in our classroom, it really speaks volume because those guys have seen me do it time and time again, but now it's an opportunity for myself to show them how it gets done in the fashion that it's getting done, and also learning from a veteran in Hines Ward who taught me the game at this level.
So Stephen Hill catches 2 touchdowns in his debut and is on top of the world, gets shut out in Pittsburgh, drops a touchdown yesterday, pulls his hamstring, goes through, I guess, what rookies go through. I mean, it can be a roller coaster. What was your advice, or what would be your advice to him now that he's gone through the past couple of weeks, now he's injured, and, of course, now he's getting asked about drop balls rather than touchdowns?
The first thing I told him was to get that bum hamstring fixed, you know. and it was only, you know, jokingly, because he knows how much I need him on the field. If you can see a few plays here and there, he took the top off of some of those coverages and then allowed myself to run free, you know, underneath those guys. And I think we're going to need a lot of that this year. And for Clyde Gates and Curly to step up and make plays, and also Chaz, we're really dependent on our group, you know, to be the guys to make plays. Even though we don't have the savviest, you know, guys at the position, but we got the guys who believe that they can get the job done in the fashion that the coaches are asking for.
3 years now, or 2 years plus, I should say, with Mark Sanchez. How have you seen him develop as a quarterback?
I think just the understanding of the concept of how the offense should be ran, learning the defenses, taking his time to pick out the coverage and taking his matchups, you know, time for time. And the chemistry that he and I have built, you know, over the years is growing. And the coaches understand that he and I have a relationship that we can pretty much do what we want to do if we want to on the field, but we got to do it in the fashion that the coaches want us to do it.
With Santonio Holmes here on Inside the Jets, presented by Coors Light. Your telephone calls are coming up at 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. But a couple of more minutes with Santonio. A win like yesterday. I was talking with Nick Folk about this. Now, obviously, from your position, it might even be different. You're out there half the snaps of the game. The offense obviously struggled for a good portion of this game. To then find a way to win it at the end, when you hear the negativity afterwards about how ugly the game might have been, but to pull the win out.
You live for those type of games, and the more you can pull them out shows character towards the team. You know, the coaching staff for believing, calling the right plays, the players for just playing through the whistle and playing till the clock struck zero. And I think that's what we did. We believed that we could pull out this victory. We knew how much it meant to our team to have another AFC divisional win, you know, under our belt, and, you know, just to continue stacking W's in the left column and not on the right side.
Before I let you go, I know you're involved with Sickle Cell, and your foundation does a lot of charity work in that regard. Can you let people know, A, kind of what you're involved in and how they can get involved, B, you know, pay attention maybe to you on Twitter. Santonio10, I think, is your handle on Twitter. Yeah. You know, follow along with some of the you know, the different functions that you've got going on and the work that you guys do.
There's been many people, you know, tweeting back and forth about the event. Very excited that it's happening again. The fans get an opportunity to see myself and a lot of my teammates, you know, maybe even get a chance to meet with Coach Ryan and Coach Barano, you know, as well. We're really looking forward to having a great turnout this year with the event. It's been steadily growing, you know, year in, year out. And to just raise the awareness for sickle cell, you know, it means a lot to me because I carry the trait. My son, who has the full disease, has been through so much in his short 10-year career of being in existence. You know, he's had surgeries and had blood transfusions and, you know, dealing with all types of injuries, you know, that are indescribable to the human. But, you know, with the help of all the fan support, you know, showing up to the bowling event and raising the money and awareness for sickle cell, you know, it's really doing a great cause for our community as well.
We're looking forward to it as well. Thanks a lot for coming in. Appreciate you doing this.
Pleasure.